This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Oil at the Forefront.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It seems the major concern of the stock markets right now is the price of oil and the prospect of inflation that goes along with it. Price of oil right now is at $132 a barrel, but there's all speculation that it's going to keep going up and that inflation might be a concern for the next several months. In Asia today, stocks finished about 1% lower, although the Nikkei had a very small gain. European shares are down 0.5%. The Dow bounced back a little bit yesterday with 24 points to finish at 12,625. The Nasdaq was up 16, and the S&P 500 gained 3 points. Yesterday, we talked about a study of the world's most important oil fields. It said those fields are aging and need much more investment, or the world faces a severe supply shortage. Today we ask the question, why aren't those fields getting enough investment? Joining us is Carola Hoyas, who covers the oil industry for the Financial Times. Carola, what's your impression?
I guess there are two answers to why the oil companies and the host governments aren't investing. One is that countries such as Venezuela are using their riches to pay for social programs and to keep the government in power. Mm-hmm. That's also happening in Mexico. And there you're seeing production at oil fields drop quite substantially. But there are also other reasons. Qatar, for example, which is a natural gas country but also has oil and is a member of OPEC, as well as Saudi Arabia, the biggest exporter in the world, are slowing down their investment. Both of them are saying, we've got enough money. At $135 of oil, a country like Qatar that really only has fewer than 500,000 true Qataris doesn't know what to do with its riches.
Now, where do the oil companies fit in this equation with the oil fields?
The international oil companies, as the price has gone up, have been more and more squeezed out of the main oil reserve regions of the world. As prices have gone up, countries have said, we want a bigger share of the profit. And you've seen that pretty much everywhere around the world. And some countries that had considered letting oil, international oil companies, the BPs, Shell, Exxons, Chevrons of the world, enter and help them tap their oil are saying, you know, we've got enough money. We don't need you guys. We think we can do it ourselves.
What do you make of the threat by some in Congress here to sue OPEC?
I hesitate to say this, but I agree with the White House on this one. Why on earth would you want to bite the hand that feeds you? Yes, you don't like the idea that they're a cartel, but I mean, look at the facts. They're the ones that control the oil.
Carola Hoyas of the Financial Times. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
A couple of oil-rich countries announced this week they're joining together to launch a development bank. Those countries, Iran and Venezuela. From the America's Desk at WLRN, Dan Gretsch reports on these strange bedfellows.
At first glance, Iran and Venezuela don't appear to have much in common. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez calls himself a 21st century socialist. Meanwhile,
the mullahs in Iran are not leftists. I mean, these guys are very conservative, but what they share is this anti-Americanism.
That's Michael McFaul, a political science professor at Stanford University. He says Venezuela and Iran have cemented their political alliance through joint ventures in energy, agriculture, even physical education.
It's a bit reminiscent to me of the Cold War, where you have these states joining together, believing that they're fighting some kind of ideological struggle against the United States.
The new binational development bank will be based in Tehran and have $1.2 billion in startup funds. It'll finance projects in areas such as infrastructure, housing, and technology. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with patient groups, first responders, and physicians to save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. On the web at Medtronic.com. And by Clarkson Potters, The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat, available now.
Sometimes members of the clergy have to be business people. They need to run their churches like businesses, in a way. So some universities have started offering MBA-type programs specifically for the clergy. Jill Barchet reports.
Monsignor Marucci is a pastor of a Catholic church in Haddon Township, New Jersey.
I know that the people in my pews want me to be an excellent steward of their resources.
Marucci's enrolled in a new master's degree in church management at Villanova University. Charles Zeck runs the program, which launched this week. He says it's like an MBA, but tailored to nonprofit churches. There'll be classes in accounting, organizational behavior, even marketing.
We don't call it that. That's not a good word. It's evangelization.
Zeck says many parishes have millions of dollars flowing through them.
It really is a small business, and so that's part of the problem, that the priests who are in charge don't have the training, nor necessarily the inclination to do the business side.
But conservatives in the church say for priests, an MBA is a waste of time and money. Father Jerry Pokorski was a financial auditor before entering the priesthood. He helps dioceses around the country with their finances. He says focusing on the business end of the church can be a distraction.
It's very easy to start neglecting your duties as a pastor, a pastor of souls. So it's far better to be able to understand the general pictures, some of the critical issues involved, and to delegate those to the laity.
Pokorski says churches should focus on basic controls, like reconciling bank statements each month. He says you don't even need a CPA for that, never mind an MBA. Even so, priests and church managers are flocking to Villanova from as far away as Ireland. The program costs $23,400. That's about what most priests make in a year. For Monsignor Marucci, Villanova is doing the brotherly thing and giving him a discount. I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.